Are you looking to nurture well-nourished kids but feel overwhelmed by picky eating battles and a lack of support?
Our online program, Raising Well-Nourished Kids, is designed to empower parents just like you.
With lifetime access to 10 user-friendly modules, you'll gain the essential tools for raising children who adore wholesome foods.
Plus, our monthly confidential Q&A sessions offer personalised guidance and support.
Don't navigate parenting alone. Let us be your allies.
Click the link in the show notes to learn more. Welcome to Raising Well-Nourished Kids, your go-to parenting podcast for everyday strategies to help you raise emotionally resilient, happy, food-loving kids.
Hi, I'm Georgia Harding, a naturopath, founder of the Well-Nourished Family Membership, and proud mum of two thriving teenagers.
And I'm Jane Faulkner, a practicing psychotherapist, the founder of Equine Assisted Therapy Australia, and also a mum of two beautiful, busy kiddos.
Join us every week as we share practical tips to set your kids up for healthier eating habits, body positivity, and a lifelong love of whole foods. Let's dive in.
Hey, so today we're going to talk about simple everyday ways to support your kids' digestion and absorption of nutrients from their diet. Because we know that the health of the digestive system is so important for kids' health.
Yeah, 100%. You know, a healthy digestive system ensures that all of the essential nutrients from your child's diet are absorbed and assimilated, which is just essential for your child's overall health and well-being. Hippocrates, who was, he's known as the father of medicine, said that all disease starts in the gut. And certainly when treating a patient holistically, starting with supporting the gut was just like building the foundations for good health. You know, if you build a house and you don't put proper foundations down, the house will stay upright for a little while, but eventually it's going to start to crumble. So from a naturopath's perspective, starting with the gut is so important for building the foundations for a really strong and robust health and immune system, and everything stems from the gut. You know, the human body is complex. Various cells and systems of the body work together. They're always communicating and always working together to maintain good health. So, look, in today's podcast, I just wanted to share just some simple everyday ways that you can support your kids and your own digestive health. I don't want to go into detail about things that kind of are outside of just those everyday things that you can do, because there's so much you can do at home, you know, without having to see a naturopath or a practitioner. But, you know, if you feel that your or your child's digestive system is compromised, it is really important to obviously work with a practitioner. So one of the very best things that you can do to support your kids' gut health is to encourage as much dietary variety as possible, especially in the form of fruits and especially vegetables, as well as grass-fed protein, which aids in the cellular turnover and the repair of the gut. So I know you're here perhaps because your child has a limited diet, so I'm definitely going to be sharing some non-food related tips as well, so please bear with me. I'll get to those. There's so much to say. Eating a really good variety of foods just helps to provide a range of essential nutrients necessary for proper growth and development. But did you also know that our gut bacteria also have an appetite for a broad range of nutrients? In one piece of research that I've read, the British and American Gut Projects analysed over 15,000 stool samples from citizens from all walks of life. And one of their key findings was that those who ate higher diversity, so more variety, particularly of plant foods, they were suggesting over 30 different types of plants a week. And, you know, look, plants include spices and legumes, as well as obviously fruit and vegetables, also nuts and seeds as well. those people had significantly more diversity in their microbiome, as our microbiome diversity plays such a central role in influencing our overall health and development. It's really, really important that we feed our gut flora a variety of fruits and vegetables and nuts and seeds and legumes. Processed foods, they're sterile, and they often feed the not so good gut bacteria as well. It's another good reason to avoid eating processed food, I suppose. Chewing, you know, you would know with your nursing background how important chewing actually is. And encouraging your kids to chew their food slowly is important. You know, kids observe us. And so when they're little, it might mean that you are exaggerated in your chewing, you know, when they're babies and they're learning to eat, just to, as I said, that role modeling and actually showing them, demonstrating, you know, proper chewing aids in the mechanical breakdown of the food and supports efficient digestion. And when you chew your food, not only do you actually mechanically break the food down, but you also tell the brain to release more saliva, which contains enzymes that contribute to the process of breaking the food down even more into smaller parts for the stomach to actually receive. And chewing your food well, it's the very first stage of digestion. A lot of people forget that. If this stage is not done with care and done thoroughly, the digestive process, it's already on the back foot. It's already compromised from the get-go. And this can really affect, you know, your general health and energy and vitality. So never underestimate the importance of these really simple things that we can incorporate. And chewing and eating slowly, just also in addition to it supporting digestion, just enables you to register feeling full. So overeating.
I think our culture, you know, where we're just doing everything all the time. So walking around, eating, not having time to sit down and have
100%.
Meals. And it's just not good, and not even registering, you know, that I'm and having this food to nourish me.
You saying that, it makes me think of food pouches for children that are, you know, quite accepted as being, and I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but those food pouches teach our kids nothing about food. You know, they're not seeing it, they're not touching it, they're not feeling it, they're just sucking on it, and they're not developing, like you're about to say, your chewing muscles.
I saw Dr. Andrew Huberman. Did you see him talking about the importance of the muscles in the jaw? And how now they're actually bringing out this apparatus to teach people how to chew to develop the muscles in the jaw, because we're having all this
soft
and how
processed
important
food
it is for, like, I think of our vagus nerve and chewing, you know, everything is linked, and it sends messages back to our brain about the state of the world we're in.
Absolutely. And there's a lot of also research into the development of dental issues as a result of us not chewing and actually learning to chew from a young age, like kids being fed pre-pureed and food out of pouches and things, and that leading to all sorts of dental issues as they grow. That's a
us
really holistic.
Just make everything
convenient, isn't it? I get it. I get those pouches are so convenient, especially if you, you know, you're in the car and they're mess free as well. So I 100% understand the appeal of them.
It's funny because our brain knows how to get convenience, but our body needs work. Our body needs
challenge. And it's not to say you can't ever give your kids those things, but
moderation.
They do need to learn to chew.
Something that I used to do with my kids, because at a retreat years ago, I'd heard someone say, you know, chew 28 times. And so we would count chews. And that was great. They used to love doing it. It'd be like, all right, let's see who can chew the longest. Especially for steak or something like that. And it would make us all more mindful. So it was good.
Absolutely. Yeah. anything that you can do to encourage chewing is super important. And, you know, even just having conversation, which slows down eating and just supports that more mindful approach to eating. Avoiding screens during meal times. We're going to keep saying this because it is so important, but that leads to mindless eating and poor digestion. Yes. So being mindful is, I think, a big part of chewing and, as I said, engaging in that conversation.
It's wild when you think how important food is. It's like the basis of everything, and yet we're so switched off, like breathing.
Yes.
We're so switched off from it.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. The next thing that's important for digestion is proper hydration. So encouraging your kids to drink an adequate amount of water through the day. Proper hydration just really helps the digestion and absorption of nutrients. But there's always a but. And this is super, super important. You need to avoid having liquids actually with the meal. So hydration needs to occur about 20 minutes or 30 minutes before, and then not again until 20 or 30 minutes after you've finished eating. This is because the stomach is just literally like a big bucket of acid. It has a very low pH, ideally of around 1.9, and this is super acidic. It would actually burn you severely if your skin were to touch it. But the stomach cells obviously are specifically designed to withstand this acidity. And this acidity is so crucial to the process of digestion. The stomach is supposed to be highly acidic to do its job. So, and as I said, this is really important because water has a pH of around 7, so it's a lot more alkaline. So one of the most important things that you can do, and it's so simple to do, is just to support your nutrition and absorption of nutrients, is just to hydrate in between meals, avoid consuming a heap of water, as I said, around meals, around 20 to 30 minutes either side, because the water just dilutes the acidity of the stomach acid. So it makes proper digestion really difficult, and we just quite simply don't absorb all of the vitamins and minerals out of the foods that we're eating if we don't have good, strong stomach acid. So it's, again, so simple, and I feel like I was never offered food, like, and never offered water at the table. We just didn't have water on the table.
Same as us.
And when I was a kid, and I've carried that through. And look, there's days I'm constantly at my kids. They quite often will sit down, and because they haven't properly hydrated between meals, they'll sit down and they'll go, "Oh, I'm thirsty," and they'll want to chug a whole heap of water. Look, all you can do, like you said before, is continue to educate them and explain your reasons why that that isn't such a great idea. But, yeah, it is very habitual. So I would say to anyone who is sitting down and dishing up water with dinner, with meals, is just to, again, try and concentrate on making sure that you're properly hydrated between meals, because if you are hydrated between meals, you're not going to feel like drinking with your meal. You actually don't feel like it.
So true.
But if you absolutely have to drink with a meal, then making the water a little bit more acidic is well worth trying. So adding a splash of lemon juice or apple cider vinegar is a better option. Kombucha definitely has a slightly lower pH, so it is slightly more acidic than water. But just, again, you know, if your kids really want to drink, just encourage them. Just have a little sip and leave it at that. Gulping volumes of water. I mean, most of us, I know, I hope everyone's experienced this, but have you ever eaten a meal and then drunk a heap of water after? It doesn't feel good, does it?
It doesn't. We were talking, I was thinking my parents never had water on the table. But then when I lived by myself, I did used to not look after myself in the day, not drink water. And then have a heap with a meal, and my digestion got really bad. And that was one thing I stopped doing when
You can feel it almost sloshing around, can't you?
Horrible.
You can feel the food just sitting and there
the
and
bloat.
Sloshing around.
Yeah.
That's why, basically, is that you shouldn't be doing that. You shouldn't be drinking a heap of water when you're eating. Another thing that really supports digestion is including probiotic rich foods in your kids' diet. So probiotic rich foods include yogurt, kefir, either coconut or water, or dairy, kefir,
yeah.
or other fermented foods like miso, fermented vegetables like kimchi and sauerkraut. These are all rich in probiotics, which promote a healthy balance of gut bacteria, which is important for digestion.
With yogurt,
yep.
How do you know which ones are good and not? Because
yep.
some don't have the...
Yeah, absolutely. Look, most of them these days, they're cultured with live bacteria, and mm-hmm. I definitely think that the plainer the better.
Yeah.
So I always recommend full fat, natural or Greek yogurt, as long as they're unsweetened.
Yeah.
Because you can definitely, a lot of sugar creeps into yogurt.
Yes,
if your kids are used to eating flavored or sugary sweet yogurt, yeah. like if they like vanilla yogurt, you're better off buying natural or unsweetened Greek yogurt and actually adding a bit of vanilla paste yourself.
Mm-hmm.
If they like, you know, the honey vanilla, then adding in just a little bit of honey and it will be a lot less sugar, I can
yes.
guarantee you. If they love berry yogurt, add in some frozen berries into yeah. their yogurt. They're much better options.
Mm.
Yeah, much, much better options. Bone broth is also another awesome way to support your kids' digestive system. They're very, very nourishing, a great source of protein and lots of minerals, and also very healing and repairing to the gut. Mm. So whilst they don't contribute to the actual process of digestion, they contribute to the healing, the soothing. If there's any irritation to the gut, bone broth is going to just help to settle that down mm. and help with the gut is an organ that has a really high cell turnover. So,
mm-hmm.
The bone broth just really helps, and the minerals and nutrients in it just helps with soothing it and keeping it the lining the integrity of the lining. Good and mm-hmm. and just healthy. It's something that you can include easily in your kids' diets. Mm. I mean, soup's obviously the obvious choice, but I put a bit of bone broth in most things that I cook.
Mm.
So everything from curries to casseroles to even bolognese,
yeah.
I'll always put a splash of bone broth.
Yeah.
I have known some people who freeze cubes of it and put it in smoothies. Yeah. I haven't tried that myself, but I have heard of people doing that. But one thing I would say, just talking about smoothies, is if you or your kid's gut is sensitive, you know, if they have an upset stomach or if they do have digestive disorders of any kind, it's really important to avoid really cold foods and also too many raw foods.
Mm.
This does include smoothies and fresh pressed juices, eating mostly cooked foods and making an effort to include warming herbs and spices in your kid's meal will go a long way to settling their gut.
Mm.
If they have, you know, gastro or an upset tummy, keeping everything as warm as possible is really, really important. Even the water that they're drinking, I would recommend for you to, you know, make even a weak herbal tea, for example, or just give them warm water if they're happy to drink it.
Mm-hmm.
It actually feels better going down if you've got an upset tummy in any way.
I agree.
I actually personally just feel better drinking warm or room temperature water all round.
Me too.
Like instinctively that feels better for me.
Definitely. Mm. And I've noticed as I've gotten older and my digestion's not as strong, like smoothies.
Yes.
I just feel much better. I love smoothies.
Yeah.
Not having them.
Yeah.
Like I just.
Yeah. It's not uncommon. It really isn't. And they are super, super convenient. A great way to get a whole heap of nutrition into kids' foods. But, and that's completely fine. But if they have, as I said, a disordered digestive system in any way, shape, or form, in the short term, it's best to switch things around and make more warming foods.
Mm.
If you do make a smoothie and your kid's tummy's upset and you just still want them to have a smoothie, adding in warming herbs and spices, things like cinnamon and ginger are two things that you can add that help to energetically warm up the food, not physically but energetically. And look, and if you're going to make a smoothie, another thing is perhaps to not make it too icy.
Yes,
as well.
Definitely.
Add a little ice just to keep it cool, but just don't make it too full on icy.
Yeah.
Obviously, one of the obvious things that can really affect digestive health are antibiotics. So they need to be used when absolutely necessary, you know, and excessive use can definitely disrupt gut flora and impact digestive health in the long term. So only use them when they're prescribed by a healthcare practitioner and they're absolutely necessary. Physical activity, would you believe, can really help to promote healthy digestion and absorption of nutrients. It's really important just to encourage your children at any time, any age, to move, to move their bodies.
Especially today.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially, yeah, like you said, and, you know, through the winter months and when it's not so enticing for them to be out and playing, just trying to include some kind of activity. Also, just be aware of any food allergies or sensitivities, not allergies is incorrect, more sensitivities and intolerances, because you'll definitely know if they have allergies. If you suspect an intolerance, it's not just enough to avoid the food that's causing the issue. It's really important to work with a naturopath or a nutritionist to actually heal the gut, because this will prevent more sensitivities and more intolerances developing. It's not uncommon for me to see in clinical practice a child, like their parents will report, they started with, you know, an allergy to this food, and then, you know, a few weeks later they developed an allergy to another food, and their list of foods that they can't eat is growing and growing and growing, which is automatically can become an issue because you're limiting the variety of foods they're eating. So then the chances of them having proper, deriving proper nutrition from their diet is gradually being eroded. So it's really important, if your child has any intolerances, to definitely work to get to the root cause of the problem. And that generally does involve supporting gut healing and the immune system to some degree as well. So it's just worth noting that, because I know in this online world, we tend to be told, you know, avoid this and your health problem will be better instantly, and avoid that and it will be better again. And a lot of people take this advice on board, and before they know it, they're stressed out, their kids are stressed out because they're unable to eat a good range of foods, and it can be problematic. So always treat the root cause of the problem. It's definitely, as I said, not enough to just randomly avoid foods in the hope that the allergy or the not allergy I keep saying allergy the intolerance or the food sensitivity is gonna disappear. Just lastly, remember that individual needs may vary. It's really important to tailor these tips to your child's specific requirements and preferences. So take the information that you can work with. You know, if chewing feels, encouraging your kids to chew feels doable, focus on that. If limiting or chipping away at removing water from the dinner table feels doable for you, start with that. These small steps are much, much better than just pulling the rug out from under your family and trying to make kind of sweeping changes all at once. Take things slowly, and I guarantee that you'll start to not only see the results that you're after, but also just build healthier, sustainable habits.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thanks. Thanks for joining us on this episode of the Raising Well-Nourished Kids podcast.
If you'd like to learn more about raising happy, emotionally resilient, food-loving kids, check out the Well-Nourished Kids program or follow us at Well-Nourished Kids on Instagram.
And if you've enjoyed what you've heard today, we'd really love it if you could take a moment to leave a review, subscribe, and share with a few friends.
Remember, it takes a village, and we're here to support you on your parenting journey.
We'll catch you next time.